This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise. It's Fun Friday with Matt. I'm digitalculturepop.com. It's two Englishmen in the studio.
Yes.
Yes. The other one is Richard Bradbury. We were thinking, you know, we call this Geek Squad, but should we call it Nerd Squad?
There's always this debate, right, between what is a geek and what is a nerd, Matt.
I defy categorization.
Right.
You can call me a geek.
Don't
or a
label
nerd.
Me.
Yeah, don't label me. I know I'm not normal, so that's fine. I was born in Norfolk.
Right. Say no more, mate. Say no more.
See, the first story you've got is on a Facebook translator.
Yeah, this is a nice story because I don't know if you've noticed that Facebook has this little thing that says see translation when.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. And it's actually reasonably accurate. It's quite good. It's I've used translation services on other search engines that haven't been quite as effective. So they've been doing a lot that's very good, but they've now started to switch to a different system for this. Now, normally what happens is. Trying to keep this as simple as possible. Normally what happens with this kind of translation is that it's done one letter at a time.
Mm.
So if I say tomorrow is Thursday, it will translate tomorrow, then is, and Thursday. So when you translate those into different languages, they don't necessarily work because the structure of sentences is different.
Yeah.
And also we speak very colloquially as well. So it can be a lot more... It can be very accurate when you do that, but it tends to work better for news items and academic. It doesn't work so well
in conversation.
On the service. Yeah, on conversation. So Facebook has switched to a separate system that actually analyzes the entire sentence. So it's looking at things contextually. So this means that a lot more computations have to be done because there are a lot more potential outcomes from the sentencing. So it's there's a lot more fine-grained computation going on. The two systems are called RNN and CNN. You don't really need to know what those are. Now, traditionally, this CNN system that Facebook has been working with, it hasn't worked as well because it's much more complicated because statistically there are so many more outcomes coming from this.
So why does this constitute such as a breakthrough?
Because they've actually found a system that works. So what they're hoping to do is that they will be able to give people on Facebook the ability to communicate pretty much in real time in different languages with one another without having these problems and these translation gaps between them. But more than that, the next stage, of course, is to be able to do that with the spoken voice. And that's really been the kind of fall down point for a lot of translation services. It takes a lot longer to build up these models. But if you've got this natural language translator, you will actually enable people to not share any common language, but to share a conversation pretty much in
real
time.
There was that video going around not too long about a guy who supposedly was traveling around Japan and had got some app on his phone or something, and he said something and immediately it translated it into Japanese. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I mean, there are services already that do that, but they're very limited and they work from a fixed vocabulary. So if you were actually having a natural conversation with someone backwards and forwards, that kind of app can't cope with that. Yeah. What Facebook is actually saying is that it is developing, and even though it's not ready to roll out yet, it's very close to having this model that would enable you to have a conversation perfectly naturally with another person without sharing any common language. So it would be like the Babel fish in Hitchhiker's Guide.
See, this is a great idea. But I feel like it's about 10 years too late. I mean, I remember having conversation with people over in China, you know, and they're laughing at me. And I'm like, why are they laughing? You know,
because
you're translating it into...
But it's only 10 years too late for you.
Correct.
It's not 10 years too late for everyone. It's quite timely.
I mean, it's a great idea, but it would have been more useful for me back then. You know, I did them
for
far
you,
better.
For you.
I would have done far
too late
better.
For you. Right. This is the next one. Snapchat moves a step closer to being Instagram. Well,
We've seen, yeah, we've
kind of... You're not on Snapchat,
they're
are
all,
you?
They're all the same thing now, aren't they?
Yeah, they've kind of merged. So, you know, it used to be that Snapchat was very much for kids and teens to send these pictures and it would all disappear. And,
well, it's not my kids, choice. It's not my
he's 10
choice.
Years on time.
Yeah, yeah. Kids, exactly. You know, and Instagram was for messaging that stays around a bit. You know, it's a little bit more serious. But we've actually seen a convergence of the two kind of platforms with them trying to take each other's business. So the latest kind of iteration of Snapchat, I mean, they've got a bunch of stuff with emojis and things that is not going to appeal to anyone above the age of about.
I like the one with the flowers around my hair.
As I said, not going to appeal to anyone over the age of 15. But one of the things they do have, which is really, really nice, is actually a magic eraser tool. Now, this is something that you only see with kind of high-end photo editing software. And what it does is, again, it uses an algorithm. So if there's a something in a picture that you don't want, like an X or you know,
a wrinkle.
A wrinkle or somebody photobombs your picture, you can actually erase that part of the photo. The software analyzes the background and replaces where that thing you want to remove was. So that's potentially a bit of a game changer. And at the same time, they're moving into this area where they can have looped video, which is very similar to the functionality of Boomerang, which is something that people use on Instagram quite a lot.
I dislike Boomerang, I have to admit.
Oh, you
know.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's fun for stupid things.
Right.
But it's not particularly useful.
It's not something you use every day.
Not at all. Some of us would use it more often than others, I would imagine. You know?
That's where the 10-year thing comes
but,
to play.
But I think as well, this seems to be part of a kind of a mad dash by Snapchat, because since it went public, it hasn't had an awful lot of success with the markets.
They've lost a ton of money, haven't they?
They have. I think their shares have dipped by almost 25%. Yeah, 25%.
Is there a generational divide between Snapchat and Instagram? There is.
I mean, there has been in the past, but you've seen Instagram pushing further and further into Snapchat's market.
Right.
So conversely, you've seen Snapchat coming out and trying to grab some of Instagram's market share because, again, it doesn't really make sense for a lot of people to be on both of the services and to be sharing the same kind of content twice. You know, we were talking about convenience in the last segment. People want to be able to just use one service for all of these things. And I think certainly Instagram has been a little bit more robust in policing the kind of more nudity-oriented content that Snapchat was originally.
A while ago, Instagram had this because if you're posting a picture on Instagram, for example, you can now choose which other platforms you can share it with.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
For a while, they blocked the sharing to Twitter and to Facebook for a little while. Mm. And an absolute outcry because of that. But like the idea of convenience is a good idea. The fact that I can do it once, boom, it's gone. I don't want to have to open up Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. It's frustrating.
But Instagram does have a much more controlled API than any of the other services. You can still only use Instagram on your phone. There isn't a way to post pictures from even a tablet, let alone from your computer. And also, if you're using sort of social media monitoring software, you don't have the same access to Instagram that you do with services like Twitter and Facebook.
What about Snapchat and Facebook? Is there a generational divide, or do you think they're sort of different sort of tools?
I think they're used for very different things. But at the same time, Facebook is the one that owns Instagram, which you can see why they're pushing into that area, because they want that market, because they want to pull you into Instagram, and then they want to filter you straight back into Facebook, where you start sharing that really rich and lucrative information.
All right. You have a personal story this time around, Food Panda.
Yes, I've had a bit of a run-in with the company. I've had a couple of orders cancelled, which I do not have an issue with. What I have an issue with is that they make it very, very easy for me to pay them. They can take my money very, very simply. But when it comes to getting a refund, they send you out a kind of stock reply and ask you to send your full name and all of your bank details over an unsecure email. And they're not the only company to do this.
I've had the same
with Lazada as well. The only difference with Lazada being you can convert to a store credit instead. But, you know, one of the things we've talked about a lot on this show is phishing and not giving out this kind of information. I mean, the basic information we always give to people on shows like this is if somebody sends you an email that asks for your personal contact details, email addresses, full name, bank account details, you don't send it to them. Mm. That's why when you buy from these services, it's a secure payment gateway. So I don't understand why they can't simply refund the money through the same payment gateway. I mean, I had a situation, again, earlier this week where I went into a retailer. They overcharged me. They noticed they overcharged me. And they simply reversed the transaction and then charged me again. Mm. So the mechanisms exist to return the money. So again, companies like Foodpanda, they make it very, very simple to take your money, but very, very hard to get the money back again.
It's almost like it's a second thought, an afterthought almost, you know.
Almost. I mean, I haven't had a response from their customer service as yet. I don't know why they can't simply refund the money through the same mechanism.
Perhaps after this, they will respond.
Well, I'm wondering, but at the same time, it does seem very strange to me that a company that makes a big deal out of having secure payment systems would ask you to jeopardize your own security to get a refund.
Right. Just to quickly add to that, a very similar kind of note. Recently, I mean, I'm signed up to one of the big internet providers here, and I'd changed my router, and I needed my login details, right? Obviously, I know my username, but they provide you with a password to log into your account, which they provide you with, and I'd not written it down anywhere. And I couldn't remember what it was. And I thought, well, there must be a way of finding out what it is. I probably need my full name, my IC, all that kind of stuff. And all I had to do was to log into my router, which I knew the password to get in. I right-clicked, inspect element on my web browser, and boom, my password popped up, even though it's covered in asterisks. So it's stored there in plain text. Just little things like that, you know, it just takes a little bit more time to fix.
Yeah, it's a lot of these things that we don't think about. I mean, I think we were talking about on one of the shows a few weeks ago about point of sale systems. Mm. And again, the person who comes in and fixes a point of sale system into your company is not a security expert.
Right. Mm.
You know, the software is designed to communicate with a back end. It's designed to have open ports and connectivity. And that's why there have been various hacks over the last year or so of POS systems. So, yeah, we do have to pay a lot more attention to these devices that we buy and just kind of blandly install in our houses.
We'll talk about your king of the crowd in just a moment. Matt Amdish from culturepop.com together with me, Frida Liu, and Richard Bradbury. Stay tuned to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Before Friday materializes, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Enterprise. Good morning, Frida Liu here, together with Matt Amdish from culturepop.com and the other Englishman, Richard Bradbury. It's Fun Friday. What have you got for us, the king of the crowd, Matt?
Zero breeze.
Sounds sweaty.
Yes, exactly. No, we talked about this air cooler called Evapolar a couple of weeks ago, which is, you know, a little air conditioner that you can put on your desk. But a lot of people want something that's a bit more powerful, but still portable and still able to cool down your average sized room. You can buy portable air conditioners, but they're not actually very portable. They tend to weigh about sort of 20 or 30 kilos.
Yeah.
And they have a huge bulky exhaust hose. So it's generally pretty inconvenient. Zero Breeze is not one of those. It's actually about the size of a medium-sized pet carrier, and it looks the same. It's kind of a, you know, a little long box, and it claims to be able to cool a room of around 50 square feet down to a temperature of 6 degrees centigrade, which is about the temperature of this studio, and is way colder than anyone ever needs to be.
Yeah.
But best of all, it also has an optional battery pack, so that lets you take it away from the mains, and it lets you use it whether you're on the beach, at the futsal court, or if you're going away for the weekend to that lovely rustic cottage that that has fans but no air conditioning.
You're from the city, you need aircon, right?
Yeah.
I'm just not built for this climate. Yeah, that's why I have an obsession with this stuff. As is the way of all of these things, they've used some kind of fancy new technology that nobody needs to understand to reduce the size of pumps and compressors so that, you know, you don't need this 50 kilos of hoses and whatever. They've also included some pointless things like a Bluetooth speaker and a nightlight. But again, you can tell this is aimed at kids in the US who want to go on a party on the beach.
I was thinking...
That's the picture they use to advertise as well.
In my head, I have images of people carting these across to the fire festival that they were supposed to be going to.
Oh, absolutely.
These would have been the ideal things.
Yeah, this is entirely what these things are designed for. They have a carrying handle built in. I mean, they are like a pet carrier. Yeah. Mm. Literally looks like a pet carrier. Very, very portable. They only weigh about 7 kilos.
Perfect.
Which is, again, yes, perfect. And you're not going to have to wait months for this one. I did notice this a long time ago, but I thought this is the kind of product that will never actually get made. So I thought I'd wait until they've got to delivery before I'd mention it. And it's ready to ship now.
Oh.
So you can check out the Zero Breeze at Indiegogo. It is a little bit pricey. With the optional battery, it comes to around... $600, which puts it in the range of the pricier units that people buy for their homes here in Malaysia. But I think that's about 2,500 ringgit. Yeah.
What a name.
Zero Breeze. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's flexible and it could turn out to be a great investment, which is Matt speak for I'm buying one.
But Zero Breeze is like no breeze.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they just mean no warm breeze. They just mean cold. Cold breeze.
That would have been a better name, cold breeze.
Well, maybe they mean a breeze that is 0 degrees,
We won't go into the branding behind this. Now, seems a ways as a new voice character. Who could this be?
It's me. No. Well, no, not just me, you or anyone else. Waze has, it has given everyone the opportunity to record their own voice prompt.
Genius.
Yeah. Now,
because you see, I love the sound of my own voice.
Exactly. We all do. There's nothing any of us like better than to turn the sound of our own voices on. No, it's very, very freaky, but it's actually going to be quite useful in the sense that what they think people are going to use it for is in countries that maybe share the language but don't share the same kind of cultural connotation. Mm. So, you know, the kind of bare left. Well, yeah. Section or, you know, bare left, turn left, or the way that people say going over a roundabout, which, you know, in some countries creates problems.
Yes.
Yeah, so it will enable people to put in their own commands to kind of naturalize things and make it a little bit more obvious.
When will it be available?
It's supposed to be rolling out in the next update of Waze, so it should be available very, very shortly. I don't know whether they're going to stagger the rollout, but yeah.
So you just record your own voice into it?
Yes, it gives you the commands and you record your own version of them, and that becomes...
Because you know what's going to happen, right? People are going to be taking bits from movies and playing them from another phone and recording them into it. They're going to be putting Darth Vader in there. They're going to be putting Mr. T in there.
No. That's one thing. But what's really going to happen is people are going to wait until you're asleep. They're going to steal your phone and they're going to change all of your prompts. So it's like, turn left, you blithering.
Yeah, bleep. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like it. I like it.
Fun one.
Right.
Okay, we're going to get medical with the next one.
Oh, yeah, this is really nice. Surgeons are starting to use augmented reality. Now, I've not been a big fan of virtual reality and this kind of stuff in the past, but...
You're a changed man.
Not really. It is for surgeons. No, but this is quite a nice idea in that surgeons are now going to be able to build up a map of the insides of our body. So what will happen is they can use MRIs and CT scans, and they will actually build up a pathway that shows them where all our nerve endings are, where all the organs are. I mean, they should know all this stuff anyway.
Yes.
But when you actually go in for surgery, it will enable them to overlay this map. So that, for example, they will be able to they can see if there are areas that they have to avoid, if there are things that will appear on a scan, for example, but don't necessarily appear when you're delving around in someone's chest cavity. So it just gives them a second picture. Some people think that this is going to enable less skilled surgeons to be able to do highly skilled work. A lot of other medical professionals say, no, it's not a replacement for highly skilled surgeons. But what it could be is actually the first step on the way to fully automated surgery. Mm. So you build up a pathway. It can be assessed and analyzed by the human surgeons. And then it can be passed over to the robots, who are going to be a lot more accurate when it comes to the actual cutting.
I'm just getting the idea from one story to the other. You know, you've got a waste story going into this one, and the surgeon going, turn left here! You know?
Well, that's pretty much what it is. I mean, one of the things that they're hoping this will have eventually is almost a warning system. So, for example, if a surgeon's scalpel strays a little bit too close to a nerve ending, something can actually flash on the screen.
This, you know, is danger operation.
Pretty much.
The
it's
flashes.
Like the MB game. Yeah. So it's quite a nice little development forward, even though it's a little bit scary.
Mm. I like the idea of it, though.
All right. Yeah. From AR to advanced touch.
Yes, this is possibly my favorite story of the week, actually.
I thought Zero Breeze was your favorite so far.
No, I just do one of those every week. Yeah. About a year or 2 years ago, I came across this what's called capacitive paint. So you could buy this paint. You can paint it on walls or on surfaces, and you can add various electrodes, and you can turn them into sort of touch-sensitive plates. Now, somebody has taken that a stage further. They've come up with a product called Electric, and this is actually a spray-on capacitive paint. So what happens is, any surface you want, whether it's a wall or glass, or whatever, you simply spray it with this paint. You add a little sensor and, say, a Raspberry Pi computer, and it turns that patch of the wall into a switch, for example. So you could actually have your light switch just touch that patch on the wall, or the same with a window, touch the pane of the window and the blinds automatically come down. You could touch the wall next to your TV to turn it on. All sorts of fantastic and magical things.
Yeah,
that this
potential
can do.
Applications. Yeah.
Yeah. You could turn an entire table or surface into a touchpad for your computer. So instead of having to use these kind of very expensive touchpads that we get on our devices now, it brings the technology very cheaply into people's homes. It uses just a couple of sensors. It can be rigged up very, very quickly and put through your smartphone. One of the examples the company used, which was really nice, was they sprayed it on an electric guitar. Mm. You were able to use it as volume control. You slide your finger up and down the body of the guitar, and it changes the volume on the guitar. And also, if you slid your finger along the bottom, it acted as that tremolo arm, the bit that makes the guitar sound wobble.
Brilliant.
So lots and lots of fantastic uses for this, and especially when you start thinking about combining it with 3D printing as well.
Mm-hmm. You can.
Yes, I know, I've brought it back to 3D printing at last. Haven't mentioned it for months and months. But no, this kind of stuff, because you can spray whatever you print off afterwards and start turning it into nice little gizmos and gadgets around the home.
Get me some of those spray.
Yeah, it should be available soon. I think it's still, it was debuted at a tech conference in the US a week or two ago, but it should be hitting the market soon.
Great for stuff like DJs and whatever. And, you know, if they want to use it as a MIDI controller and all little bits and pieces like that, great idea.
Absolutely. I mean, literally the possibilities are endless. Or, you know, you could have for kids, you could spray it on the floor and you could have musical notes being played when they play hopscotch by going across the kitchen floor. You know, it really is one of those. It's one of those things that is as wide as your imagination. It's a fantastic idea.
It is a great idea.
And what tune do you have for us?
We're going to go out today with the latest single from Dan Auerbach. He's one half of the Black Keys. I like this song because it's very shiny, it's very summery, and it sounds very much like George Harrison, the ex-Beatle. This is Shine On Me. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.